Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and again, I welcome you to our show. Thank you for joining us, CCTA, Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit grassroots organization that advocates for the Constitution, less government, more freedom, less taxes, and accountability for our elected
and
officials.
And free enterprise, free opportunity enterprise. For all.
There you go. Thank you, Rainer. We have a special guest with us tonight to talk to us about a very important topic. But before I introduce him, let me tell you who else is here. We got Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello.
Hello.
Bob is the treasurer for CCTA. Mary has a wonderful blog.
Thank you.
rightwinggranny.com. She's a conservative blogger, and she's been doing it for a while. And you got how many thousands of hits a day now?
Between 10 and 20,000.
10 to 20,000 hits a day. So either she's got a lot of people ticked off or people like what she says. But anyway, you're going to her site, so you might want to check that out. That's rightwinggranny.com. We have Hal and Rainer James.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Rick.
Hal is the chairman of CCTA, and Rainer. Which title are you going by now?
It doesn't much matter.
He's the editor of the CCTA Action page in the County Compass.
Yeah.
And
she does so much, it's hard to keep up. I know she was Legislative Action Committee chair, but she passed that off to Diane, State Legislative
yep.
Action.
Mm-hmm.
Diane couldn't be with us tonight, Diane Rufino, and we'll miss her. But we typically talk about things that should concern the citizens about what's going on in the legislature, in our local politics with the commissioners and the aldermen, the town boards and school boards, things like that. We like to hold them accountable for things they said they were going to do and things they said they weren't going to do, because mm-hmm. often what they say and what they do don't line up. So.
You know, while you're introducing people, Rick, I'd like to mention that you and Rainer are both past chairs of CCTA.
Yep, that's right. Okay, so special guest tonight. North Carolina has long been known for its fishing. And you've got the Core Sound, the Albemarle Sound, the Pamlico Sound, and commercial fishing's been a big part of our heritage for over 200 years. And commercial fishing isn't what it used to be. So our guest tonight is Jerry Scheel, who is Director of Government Relations for the North Carolina Fisheries Association. And that's not a governmental agency. That's an association that supports our local fishermen. And Jerry spends a lot of time in Raleigh at the legislative building trying to figure out what they're trying to do. So, Jerry, how's the fishing?
It's pretty tough right now, Rick. It's last Tuesday. Was one of the worst I've ever experienced politically. Very disappointed and discouraged by what I witnessed, and that's beside the point of what the practical effects might be to commercial fishermen. It's more about the process than anything, and talk about that in a little bit.
Well, I know in January of 17 that the North Carolina Wildlife Federation issued a petition that would just about eliminate commercial fishermen altogether. Is this a continuation of that? Or
The attitude, perhaps, but that particular petition is a moot issue now. That's off the table. But there have been several bills introduced in the legislature that are not good for commercial fishermen. And believe it or not, there's a couple of them that are good, some that we're backing. So it just muddies the waters. And but again, what happened last Tuesday was very, very sad, in my opinion.
Well, before we get into that, can you briefly tell us about the North Carolina Fisheries Association, what it is?
Yeah, NCFA is a nonprofit trade association made up of commercial fishermen, seafood dealers, and processors. It's been around since 1954. I was president of the organization for a number of years. I started with NCFA in 1987 and then stepped down just about 3 years ago from that position, and now just do the government relations at the state and federal level, mostly the state. So whenever the General Assembly's in session in Raleigh, I'm usually there.
Okay. So, Hal, you had you?
Well, yeah, I try to talk to a commercial fisherman every now and then, and I do visit y'all's office down in Moorhead City once in a while. And anyway, I was talking to one up near Aurora. Well, actually, he lives in Pamlico County. But he and his wife were in the business together, and I was actually talking to her. And she said that they're not even going to try any sort of net fishing or any type of fishing this season. It's just, it won't pay. She said they just can't make it pay. And she said it's really terrible because they've not been able to do any net fishing at all. And there's so many crab pots, people trying to catch crabs that it's all over each other. Could you comment on that? Why does she feel that way?
Well, a number of issues there, though, Hal. If fishermen are going to fish, each fisherman has their specialty.
Right.
Some of them like to be on a trawl boat for shrimping. They just love trawling. There's some that will trawl just because they have to, but despise it. You know, they like to set a gill net, and they don't like working with two or three other guys on a boat. It's kind of confining, so they like to go out on a gill net boat. There are those that like the crab, but the problem is when there's restrictions on any one of those things, they will go to something else. It's called survival.
Yes.
And so they're going to do whatever they have to do to put bread on the table.
Right. They were basically complaining they couldn't do any net fishing.
Yeah, and right now, because of a number of issues, the Endangered Species Act, where you're dealing with sea turtles, and sturgeon, and then the restrictions recently on striped bass and restrictions on southern flounder, that restricts the guys and gals that like to use gill nets. Mm-hmm. So they're setting crab pots, and and everybody's doing it.
Right.
The problem there, I was talking to some folks on Monday night, there are certain times of the year when they pull their crab pots out of certain areas because the sea turtles crush them. They're after the bait, and those crab pots aren't cheap. The other thing that we've just heard about, it was news to me, and like I said, I've been doing this for 32 years, is the seagulls are eating the boys on the crab pots.
My Lord, what were they doing?
They're just pecking at them and destroying them. Those things are $6 a piece. I mean, I never heard of that. I heard that Monday night. I mean, there's just one thing after the other. And then what happened in Raleigh, you know, your mouth stands agape. You're hoping, my gosh, I hope they didn't see me with my mouth open. But you're so shocked at what you're hearing that it's just a sad, sad situation.
Let's let Rainer get in here.
I want to point out that this, we should all care about that. If we like seafood and we aren't fishermen, it goes way beyond that. The couple Hal was talking about own a seafood market. They're not opening it this year. If you like good, fresh, local seafood and you don't fish, you really ought to have your rear end right up on your shoulders over this one, because it's eating into what's going to be available to you and me.
Right. It has far-reaching consequences, besides the family that may be a second or third generation that's how they've made their living.
Yeah, it's much more minor for those of us who are really upset that our choices are limited.
Right.
It's whole life.
It affects the
community. It affects many, many more people than is immediately obvious when you think about that element of it.
Right. It affects consumers and their access to the seafood.
Exactly.
And local restaurants, where's the seafood going to come from if it doesn't come locally?
Dirty waters, way, way away from here.
It also affects CCTA because this particular outfit that you're talking about is one of our sponsors.
Yep.
So they'll no longer be able to sponsor the program.
I was eating oysters locally in a restaurant here in They seemed like they were a little small and not at the standard I was used to getting. I said, "Where'd you get the oysters this time?" She said, "Out of the James River up in Virginia. We couldn't get them here."
All right. Well, like I said, commercial fishing in North Carolina has been a tradition all the way back to colonial North Carolina. And we don't want to lose it because of overregulation. So tell us what we can do, Jerry.
Well, let me give you something that has a little positive spin on it.
Okay, yeah.
There's actually a couple things. And some of it involves the government. I mean, about 2 months ago, we were extended an invitation. The North Carolina Fisheries Association was extended an invitation by the Department of Environmental Quality. Now, that's a department that's headed by Secretary Michael Regan. He was appointed by Governor Roy Cooper. We were extended an invitation to attend a meeting in Moorhead City at the Division of Marine Fisheries, which comes under DEQ. That invitation also went to the Coastal Conservation Association, or the CCA. It went to the North Carolina Wildlife Federation, which is the group that filed that bad petition some time ago, and the North Carolina Coastal Federation, an environmental group. And I come out of that meeting. It was about 2 hours in length. And what the purpose of it was to see if we could find some common ground, and they meaning DEQ and the Division of Marine Fisheries, had a little presentation on what their wish list was from the legislature. Can we get some agreement on where on these issues? And after a couple of hours, it was pretty positive. I mean, somebody, we had to swallow a few hard swallows, but that's what you do when you're trying to come to an agreement. It's not gonna kill you, but if by accepting that and swallowing hard on that, you get something over here that you'd like to see, then maybe we can come up with something that can be ushered through the General Assembly. And because many legislators have told me, and this is the pot calling the kettle black, in my opinion, why can't you all get along? meaning the two sides. And you know, the last person that said to that, and I call most of them by their first name, but I won't mention the first name. I'll just call them legislator. I said, legislator, you know, I do sit in the gallery on issues other than fishing. And I listened to the debate on the budget last year, and it was sad on both sides. I mean, that's calling the pot calling the kettle black when you ask me, can't you all get along? And the legislator laughed, but, you know, I made my point. So here we have some legislation that's going through, and I'll go through that in a minute. But in the meantime, one of the things that we talk about is the loss of water quality and habitat. When you talk about oysters, we're losing more and more areas for oystering because of bad water quality. The division will test those waters, and if the water quality is bad, you can die from eating oysters coming out of bad waters. And because of population growth, that means a lot more stuff being, people fertilize their lawns, for example, and if they're along the water, that has runoff. You have all kinds of other issues with municipal sewage plants, even that are even abiding by the law, putting stuff in the water that's might be okay for us, but it's not okay for the critters in there. Right. So you have all these issues that are forcing more and more bottom being closed for oysters. Now that's not to even mention the habitat that's being lost. Seagrasses, for example, that will be lost for excessive nitrogen going into the waters. So when we brought that, or that was brought up not by us, but by some of the other folks in the room when we met in Moorhead City, and I said, well, I know that y'all are kind of looking at us and wondering why we're not spending more time addressing water quality and habitat. However, if y'all would quit introducing these stupid things to put people out of work, and we have to fight that all the time, maybe we could proactively work on water quality and habitat issues.
Well, the commercial fishermen are well aware of that water quality because they brought that up to me a time or two when I asked questions, too, about the stuff that's coming down the rivers from the big cities, mm-hmm. more populous areas. They understand that.
Yeah.
They understand everything about their business, I guess.
they really do. The other positive thing I'll mention is...
Can you wait?
Sure.
Let's take a break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll get to that when we come right back.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair. Your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com. Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our guest speaker tonight is Jerry Scheel with the North Carolina Fisheries Association, and he takes care of their government affairs or working in Raleigh with the legislators up there, and we appreciate him spending time with us. You had a second part to your positive report.
Yes, we had every year we sponsor, along with North Carolina Watermen United and some other catch groups throughout the state, a legislative seafood reception, and that was held on the 9th of April.
I passed you on the highway on your way there.
You were headed to Kinston, and I was going further. But that particular day, I mean, the weather report for days upon leading into that day was bad.
Yeah.
It was really not looking good. So we made sure there was a tent there in case of inclement weather. But it was a beautiful evening, absolutely beautiful. Temperatures were good. No, not a drop of rain. Lots and lots of seafood. Over 450 guests attended. That's legislators, their spouses, their legislative assistants and staffers, you know, and everybody, I mean, Democrat, Republican, everybody seemed to have a good time. The goal there, unless the legislator brings it up, we don't talk so much about issues. Mm-hmm. The goal there is for everybody to leave there with a smile on their face and a full belly. And we'll wait till tomorrow to talk about the issues. By the way, that fish you ate, well, if you go along with this proposal, you ain't going to get any more of it. You know? So, that sort of thing. But it was a great event. And that was the positive. And then a week to the day after that was held was when the most negative thing that I've witnessed in Raleigh in 32 years happened. And we can talk about that when you're ready.
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. Well, there was a meeting of the Wildlife Resources Committee in the House of Representatives. And we found out that there were two bills that we were opposing, House Bill 483, which was called Let Them Spawn, and House Bill 486, which is both of them primary sponsors, Representative Larry Yarborough. 486 was commercial fishing license reforms. The 486 was very similar to another bill that was introduced about a year ago. There was a public hearing in Wrightsville Beach at a Marine Fisheries Commission meeting on Valentine's Day, 2018, and I took my wife there for a romantic evening, and it was a very contentious hearing. 200 fishermen filled that room up, violating all the fire codes, I'm sure, and standing room only, and about half of them spoke. Everyone spoke against any so-called commercial fishing license reforms. So here you have that bill. Last year it didn't go anywhere. It didn't even get heard in committee. This year, the same bill with a few minor issues would double the fees for commercial fishermen. Take every commercial fishing license and double it. The standard commercial fishing license currently at $400 will be $800. And my comment to the committee was, the difference between last year and this year is you still are proposing doubling license fees in this bill. The difference is we just come off a major hurricane. And I don't know if y'all noticed it or not, but hurricanes kind of affect the coast, and fishermen are no exception. So I beg them, please don't pass this bill. The chairman, Cody Henson, 26 years old, he's a co-chairman of the committee, really didn't have it in his mind to allow the public to speak, but Representative Larry Pittman asked him to allow me to speak on that bill, which I did for just a short amount of time. The vote on that bill, and there was division was asked, so the show of hands was 6-4. There were some legislators that did not vote, so it was a favorable report for that bill even after that very successful legislative reception. And even after I get up and about the tremendous impacts this would have on commercial fishermen and begged them not to pass it.
Sounds like it may have already been decided before.
It definitely was. There were some wheels greased. And keep in mind, both Democrats and Republicans voted in favor of the bill for a favorable report. When it came to the other bill, Let Them Spawn was the name of it, House Bill 483. That's a scientific bill, if you will, biology bill. And it would provide for a certain every species would be afforded a minimum size limit for harvest according to when they spawn. The problem with that, to make it as simple as possible, the larger the size, the more prone they are to be female. So after a while, you keep making the sizes larger, and it sounds good on paper, but then you're harvesting all females for many species. The issue of that particular meeting was Representative George Cleveland asked the chair. He said, "Mr. Chairman, we have the Director of Marine Fisheries here. Could we have him speak on the bill? That would give them a scientific, instead of the rhetoric that Larry Yarborough is providing, we'd hear actual science." The chairman said, "We don't have time."
Ooh. Oh, boy.
And when he said that, it's not the same analogy, but it reminded me of what Nancy Pelosi said, we need to pass it, and then we're going to read it. You know, it was just an amazing day, and that bill got a favorable report, 11-3.
Well, what's the purpose of the doubling the license fee? I mean, were they trying to raise more tax money? Is that an incentive, or what is it for?
Actually, they're reducing. When you look at the rest of the bill, they're not allowing an individual, and everything is dictated by definitions in law.
Right.
An individual is even considered a corporation. Okay, an individual is only allowed to have one commercial fishing license. Right now, that limitation isn't there. There's a number of reasons why commercial fishermen have licenses and pay $400 a year that they don't use. They may be saving it so that they can get back into commercial fishing, because once they lose it, it's almost impossible to get it back. So they're giving the state $400 to use something that they don't even use. So the state's making out on it. So by these definitions, you're reducing the number of licenses, thereby reducing the gross revenues. So how do you make up for it? Well, then you double the licenses. Now, keep in mind, I don't want to imply that every commercial fisherman in North Carolina is against this action, because there's a certain number of fishermen that want to limit their competition. And they can do so by eliminating the part-timers. Mm-hmm. Now, the North Carolina Fisheries Association don't represent a lot of part-timers. That doesn't mean they're bad people. That doesn't mean that they don't have a right to fish. And our position has been there's space there for part-timers too. And they're catching fish. They're providing a service to consumers just like the full-timers are. So we don't have any problem with that. The whole agenda, though, is to reduce the numbers of commercial fishermen, thereby reducing their influence. And the numbers of commercial fishermen have been declining rapidly over the years anyway.
Yeah, so. Well, they make it so hard on them and not very profitable. And, well, my opinion, if anybody cares, this is a resource that was given to us by God. And government has no business involved in it at all, as far as I see. It's gone on for centuries, and it would continue to go on, because if you're a commercial fisherman, it behooves you to protect your resources and to come, just like they did with the, crab excluder? The
turtle excluder.
Turtle excluders. The fishermen came up with that solution, didn't they?
Yeah, but to be fair, they knew the writing was on the wall too. I mean, we knew that if we didn't perfect that device, it was going to be shoved down our throats by a government designed contraption, which.
But
never
isn't
worked.
Rick's premise true that the commercial fishermen want to preserve that as because it's been generational?
Certainly. I mean, if you know, it's really funny. If you look at a lot of people like graphs, and if you look at a graph on one end of a line of the number of regulations then as opposed to now, it would be a line straight up, right? Mm. On the other hand, the people that are saying we have no fish, if you look at that, the line would be the exact opposite. In other words, where we go, the more regulations, we have less fish. Now, what's that tell you?
Yeah.
And one of the things that Larry Yarbrough used in his opening statements for the commercial fishing license reform was that he wants to help commercial fishermen. And the reason he wants to help commercial fishermen is because, and he cited a year, which I can't remember, there were so many thousand pounds of, or million pounds of fish that were landed versus the recently it's declined so much. Again, everything is context. The original date that he talked about, we had a robust menhaden fishery. Yeah. We had more than one plant at that time in North Carolina. Right now we have none. There are no North Carolina menhaden reduction plants. So just by then, and their landings were measured in tons.
Right.
So just those are the things where you would hope that the committee would want to hear the other side. Mr. Chairman, those figures are correct. However, this is the context. But they didn't want to hear it. Now, while I'm chiding Chairman Henson for not allowing it, there were Republicans and Democrats on that committee that could have raised it as well.
All right.
And said, Mr. Chairman, I object.
But wouldn't the Menhaden harvest more for fertilizer and stuff like that?
Fertilizer is one part of it. They're not a food fish. There have been several studies done to try to...
But they are food for the food
they
fish.
They are. Oh, yeah. They're okay, definitely. That's another controversial issue. But
I got that.
They were the Menhaden, the oil was pressed out of them. Most of the oil was sent to Europe for uses in butter, margarine, fish oil capsules. And then the fish itself is not used only for fertilizer, but other uses in agriculture as well.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and they're still fishing in Virginia for that.
Well, Bob's been patiently waiting to...
I'm curious, are the sponsors of the bills coastal representatives or inland representatives from the state? And then secondly, are they commercial fishermen oriented or recreational fishermen oriented? Is there a division in either one of those?
As far as a division, kind of. Some of that is, you have one particular representative that, in my opinion, takes his cues from the Coastal Conservation Association or the Wildlife Federation. And I say that because I walk those halls a lot. And when I'm walking pass to go to Ed Goodwin's office from Edenton, or Keith Kidwell's office, who's from Lenore County. I walk by Larry Yarborough's office, who's the primary sponsor of these bills, and the lobbyists for those organizations are sitting right outside his door. So I know a little bit about that stuff.
Keith from Beaufort, I believe.
Pardon?
Isn't Keith from Beaufort County?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I said Lenore. That's
all
right.
Chakawanity.
At any rate, what was your first part of your question, Bob?
Whether the representatives were actually coastal?
No, that's a very good point. The ones that sponsor these bills, the bad bills at least, are not coastal. Not only that, but when you look at the makeup of the Wildlife Resources Committee, anything that has to do with fishing in the House is going to go through that committee. Everybody knows, without a shadow of a doubt, that's in the General Assembly, knows that if it says fish in it, it's controversial. However, there's only one coastal representative on that committee, and that's George Cleveland. At one time, when the committee announcements were made, Bobby Hoenig from Currituck County, it represents including Pamlico, and Dare and Hyde, was supposed to be on the committee, but when the final assignments were made, he was not on it. So.
You mentioned Larry Pittman, and you know he's not from here now, but he was at one time.
Yeah, and I don't mean to imply you have to be from the coast to be our friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, we need to take another break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to discuss this topic more.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, our host, Jerry Scheel from the North Carolina Fisheries Association. And Jerry's been talking about some of the legislation affecting our commercial fishermen that's been going on up in Raleigh. Mary, you had your hand up.
Yes, I have a question. It sounds like this is not a partisan issue. It sounds like there are bad guys and good guys in both parties.
Yes, that's the way I see it, especially, you know, when you do this for 32 years, you see one party in charge of things when they, of course, they're chairing the committees. When they have the governor's office and have the majority of the House and Senate, then that party is the one that chairs the committees. And I saw some bad stuff going on back then. And when I say bad stuff, to the initiated or the seasoned, it might not come as a surprise. But when you, as someone maybe that doesn't go there very often, sees a vote be taken by the chairman, and the chairman says, "You've heard the motion. The motion is," and all the ayes say aye. You know, and they do that, and all the noes likewise, and it's obvious to you that the noes have it, but the chair rules that the ayes do. I mean, the chair rules, you know. Wow. And then, of course, somebody can ask for division where they have to actually raise their hand, but that doesn't happen very often. So I saw that under the previous party's rule. You know, now what I just outlined, what happened last week, it's not the same party. It was a different one, but the same kind of results where we strived to get the Division of Marine Fisheries director. The bureaucrats typically don't go to a meeting on their own.
Right.
They have to be asked. So I asked the chairs to please ask the division director to be there and DEQ people to be there. And the response I got was, "They're welcome to attend, but we're not going to issue an invitation." So Representative George Cleveland then requested on his own that they be there, and they were, but they weren't asked to speak. That to me is the travesty of all this.
Well, they didn't want to have facts enter the case.
No, they didn't. They didn't want to be confused by the facts.
Earlier you mentioned lobbyists, and we know there's lobbyists from all sides there, but what impact does that have?
Well, I'm a lobbyist, so after that meeting, I didn't think I was having any impact. You know, it's just, it's one of those kinds of things where you wonder, the first thing I think of isn't the bad stuff. The first thing I think of is, where did I fail? Who should I have talked to that I didn't? And I've struggled with that. And no, we did all the right things. But the other side, I'm pretty much the only lobbyist. Glenn Skinner goes with me on occasion. But the other side has three, four, five not all from the same organization, but they have different lobbyists that working for this for the same goals. But getting back to what Mary's question was, this isn't a question of Republican good, Democrat bad, or vice versa. It's, I mean, the votes that were taken were Republicans and Democrats voting for the same side. So my next few days are going to be going to those that voted against us and simply ask why. Hmm. And I don't think I'll find a really legitimate answer.
Is there, without getting into too much trouble or detail, is there money involved here? Is there money supporting one particular side of this that the other side doesn't have the money to support?
Well, that's always alleged forever. Matter of fact, when we make hay in the General Assembly, and for us making hay isn't getting stuff through. Us making hay is stopping the bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just our guys just want to work. You know, I had a legislator throw something at me the other day. Jerry, wouldn't this help commercial fishermen? I said, might. It had nothing to do with fishing itself. It had to do with something else. And he said, don't you think you ought to be mentioning it to them? I know what they're going to say. I've been doing this a long time. Just tell them to leave us alone so we can work. We'll take care of that other stuff by ourselves. Just leave us work. That's what they want.
Yeah.
So
that goes back to the point I was trying to make. If the government would back off and just let the fishermen take care of it.
You know, that's true of every sector. In business and free enterprise, this is a microcosm of what's wrong across the board in our country. The government is too intrusive.
Too much.
Well, there's a fine line there, though. Milton Friedman in his series, Free to Choose. It was a great series. He made the argument against regulations, but with a however. When it comes to the environment, in many cases, there's not the impetus for the companies to do the right thing. And so that is a role for the government to play. And, you know, a lot of fishermen will disagree with what I'm going to say, but there is a need for regulating fishing. The problem is once they start down that road, they just don't. The bureaucracy has to justify itself. You know, they always have to come up with something. And in their zeal, they ruin industry. And I've economic development. We need to create jobs. Save the ones you have, for heaven's sakes. You know, the old saying, it's easier to have a bird in hand than grab two in the bush.
Right. Well, I go back to, if you go back decades, centuries, the people in the community would gather together and say, look, here's the issue we've got to tackle, we've got to do something about. That wasn't government. That was the people, the ones that were affected, whether it was fishermen or lumberjacks or whatever industry it was that was being affected. They would gather together, have town hall meetings. Today, you don't see that.
Yeah.
The people don't want to get in. They don't even go to the school board meetings, and that's affecting their kids' education, you know. They don't know what they're being taught, and that's one reason where we're at today. They're being taught the wrong things. They're really being indoctrinated rather than being taught. But I think that's a lot of the problem now is same thing in the church community. You know, churches used to do a lot of what the entitlement programs we have today are doing. The only problem is the entitlement programs aren't helping the people. They're enslaving the people. And when the churches were performing that function, the needs in the community for the poor and the downtrodden, those truly in need, it would help them get back on their feet, and then they would go on and stand on their own after that. And those are the kind of changes I've seen. And I was born here. I've lived here all my life, never left. I can't imagine Eastern North Carolina without a seafood industry. I come from a family of fishermen. My grandfather, of course, he was in Norfolk, but he distributed seafood all up and down the East Coast, all the way to Florida and all the way up to Maine. My uncle invented the Hopkins fishing lure. And that was a family business for many, many years. So All of my brothers and sisters, we participated. They would go shrimping and oystering, and they know the waters around here very well. And some of them are still in the fishing industry in our family. But I just can't imagine Eastern North Carolina without fishing. We need to take a really quick break. We'll be right back.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out RightWingGranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to RightWingGranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout Eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have Jerry Scheel with us from the North Carolina Fisheries Association. And Jerry, we need to wrap up. So for closing, tell us what we can do.
Well, it's not just what you can do for fishermen. I know you're going to be talking about the special election coming up. And, you know, we, through our weekly update, NCFA sends out a weekly update to our members, let them know what's going on, legislatively and otherwise. And I told all the candidates that are running, all 5,325, that to let us know what's coming up on your calendar, and we'll put it on the update. And we've been doing that. The problem is, I don't know how many of our folks, I'm talking about commercial fishermen, that know how important this stuff is. I don't know how many have availed themselves. I mean, we broadcast through our update about your event, right, the CCTA Forum, mm-hmm, through the God and Country Christian Alliance. We had a couple of meetings like that. I didn't see any commercial fishermen there.
Yeah, that goes back to my earlier point. I don't understand the apathy of why people that are being affected aren't involved.
Right. Just so if they circulate, if the candidates are circulating in Carter, Dare, Hyde, Pamlico counties, you know, I mean, the old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I mean, it's sad that we can rail about all the things that are wrong, but we have the opportunity to fix it if we would exercise a right to do so. Voting is one part of that.
Right. And so, I think we're at a critical point in time where if we don't exercise that right now and get it right now, we're going to lose that right.
Because yeah, I'm afraid that's true.
That's what they're trying to do, is take those rights away from us. And Jerry, your organization also has a publication. I believe it's called Tradewinds.
Tradewinds. It's printed every other month. It used to be a newspaper. It's gotten a little bit glossy now. It's full color and it's a magazine. Pretty nice. Andrea O'Neill is the editor of it and does a fantastic job.
It's all slick print.
Yeah, nice. You can usually pick it up around in fish markets, seafood restaurants, and other local establishments.
Exactly. So
they can also access it, I believe, digitally on your website.
Yeah, www.incfish.org, and they can access it there as well.
Slow down and say that one more time.
www.ncfish.org. nofisheries.org.
There you go. And you can go there and find out about the North Carolina Fisheries Association. Also, you can access their publication, Trade Winds. A lot of good information in there. But the most important thing, and Jerry, we want to thank you again for joining us this evening. The most important thing is exercising your right to select the legislators that are making these laws, the ones that are voting the wrong ways. And, you know, their records are available. And Tuesday, day after tomorrow, is special election day. It's your final opportunity to vote for the 3rd District U.S. House Representative to replace Walter B. Jones. Hal, you had some statistics. Today is Sunday. I mean, today is Wednesday.
Right.
This show will be on Sunday. Tell us, as of Wednesday.
Statistics are close of business on Monday.
Close of business on this past
Monday. The latest things that we have. And an interesting statistic, overall, look at it. There are 474,029 registered voters in the district, the 3rd District.
All right.
Okay, of those, only 13,306 have actually gone out and voted up to this date.
As of this past Monday.
And that's 2.81%.
2.81%.
Right.
That's abysmal, folks. There's no excuse for that.
There's 6 counties with over 1,000 voters.
And you have you have 17 candidates there. You've got a lot to look at and a lot to mull over and try to decide.
Rick, may I make an observation?
Sure.
There are 3 of the candidates who are current members of the North Carolina House. They have voting records. Don't go to the polls till you know how they voted and what bills they've sponsored.
Rick, you said 17 candidates. That's actually 17 Republicans, 6 Democrats, 3...
You're right.
Okay, I think it's a total of 27. Right, and 1 constitutionalist.
You're right. I apologize. Anyway, you have a lot to look at, and don't be swayed by the fancy ads. Words are easy to say. You need to look at past actions.
Exactly. We don't want anybody buying this election. It's ours to bestow.
Absolutely. And like Rainer mentioned, there are 3 currently running for that seat that are currently legislators. And they have a record. They have a record you can look at. And I know for a fact there was recently legislation that was passed that one of those candidates voted for. And it wasn't for what the people wanted. It was for what the industry that it affected wanted.
That was passed in the House. It has not passed the Senate. And I hope it stays not passed in the Senate.
But my point is, if you look at their records and see how they have voted, no matter what their words are on their fancy ads, look at what their actions have been in their past positions. And then you have some that have never been in politics. You can't look at their records or their experience. So you just have to, you know, use your common sense and good judgment and see what you can find out about them. Hal?
It's an interesting point to me that of the counties that have the highest turnout, not that any of them are very high, which of the larger counties, Carteret is doing very well with 3.67% turnout, 1826, compared to some of the others.
Right.
And some of the smaller counties have a higher percentage turnout, but the ones with fairly large populations, they're doing very well.
Right. Well, folks, it's very important. It is your right, and I don't want you to lose that right. So you need to exercise it. Voting is, I said right, it's a privilege, actually. It's something you don't need to take lightly, because if you do, you're going to find out someday you're looking at yourself in the mirror saying, how did this happen? How did we get here? Matter of fact, I've been doing that a lot. And, it's all because of inaction. People got comfortable and they didn't want to be involved and they weren't involved and somebody else got involved. And now you have to suffer through what has happened.
It's a pleasure to me to talk to someone coming in to vote that will have a nice conversation where they really demonstrate to me that they kind of know what's going on. They've done their research. They know something about each of the candidates and that sort of thing. But you'd be amazed at how many people come in and give you a blank stare and they say, well, I know it's an election, but they don't know much about it. Even of the ones that turn out, and it's a dismal percentage of turnout, as I've already talked about.
Right.
And Mary was making the point, 3%ers, that's about right. We got about 3% of the people paying attention.
Right. Yeah. And I don't want anybody to take this as a negative way, because Bob and Mary come to us from Massachusetts. They have migrated down here to God's country.
You're not going to say something bad about Yankees, are you?
No, I'm not. I'm going to say something about all the influx of people that are coming to our state make that their home. A lot of these people are coming in here. They're coming from other cultures. They don't think the way we do here in North Carolina necessarily. Quote some of the people I've heard in the past, the way they say it is they bring their politics with them. So you sit home and don't vote. They're coming here and they are voting. So I'm not saying that as a negative or a bad thing, because they may be voting good. And they come here and they exercise their right to vote. You need to be exercising your right to vote. There are others that are coming here that are illegal.
Uh-oh.
And they're exercising your right to vote. A lot of people think voter fraud doesn't exist. No, we've got proof of that. It does exist. Election fraud doesn't exist. Yes, it does, at the highest levels.
Sad, but so.
It's being investigated and uncovered all across the country. There's proof, there's evidence, there's actually been convictions. But the media doesn't want to put that out there. So it's up to you as a citizen to do your civic duty, go to the polls and vote. Now, CCTA, we have a public meeting third Tuesday of every month. For the month of May, we're repeating the same thing we did last May, and that's the Back the Blue. Back the Blue is honoring the first responders. We've invited local sheriff's department, police departments and all to give us a list of their outstanding performers, and we're going to recognize those that have gone above and beyond the call of duty. That'll be on the third Tuesday here at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern. It's free and it's open to the public. Go to cctaxpayers.com to get more information, and that's all the time we have for today.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. J. Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutrition Consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, also the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties, Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue. Tune in for the CCTA Wake Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.